one of the most important institutions that God has established. In fact, the first institution established is the marriage institution. Marriage is ordained by God. He ordained it by himself. Marriage is for companionship. It's not good that a man be alone. He said two are better than one. The purpose of marriage is also for procreation. Both the man and the woman, you will need to play your part. Everyone has a part to play so that you can enjoy that marriage. There are instructions for the man to love the wife and the woman to subject herself, to be submissive to the man. That the man is to love the wife and prove it, or show that you really love her, not in words only. I emphasize that. Therefore, there is a need for the man to be romantic. You should shower each other gifts. Prove that you love him also by giving him gifts. I said the man is also to protect her. You are a source of protection for the woman. That is why even in build, you have muscles. Women don't have muscles. It's not for you to beat her, it's to protect her. It is proper, normal, that the man must be jealous of his wife. You must be jealous. It is love that produces jealousy. And jealousy will bring protection for the woman. Jealousy will make him want to keep the woman, do everything to make sure nobody snatches that woman from him or harms that woman in any way. And the woman's position is to submit yourself to the man and show it by giving him the respect and obedience due to him. Marriage must be honorable, as we see in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 4. Now, to make that marriage honorable, respect one another, show respect, display respect for one another, both privately and publicly. If two of you can agree concerning any matter you pray, that is very powerful, prayer of a man and his wife over any matter. Don't leave your children to your wife only for any reason. Supply your own part in the upbringing of the children. The man is not the only breadwinner. The idea that, or that statement, that the man, they call him the breadwinner, no, it is wrong. That is tradition. Both of you are breadwinners. You should empower each other. Let the man empower the woman, and let, if the woman is also in position, using your relations or otherwise, empower the man. Anything can happen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. One of the most important institutions that God has established, in fact, the first institution established, is the marriage institution. And during this Couples Day, it's a program we just put together by the marriage committee to give focus to this all-important institution. There was Honorable Justice Rita Pemu. She also spoke to us on how to address a common issue here with us, especially in this part of the world. When a man dies, the in-laws will come and start tormenting the widow, collect property and all that goes on, and the women are left helpless. And so, those of you who are not here, and you can hear us also from any part of the world, here, particularly in Nigeria, and I'm sure in every country, there are laws that govern such situations, that take care of such situations. So she tried to let us know, and in summary, every state has the probate division of the Ministry of Justice, where the administrator and a trustee. What they are there for, the office of the administrator of the property division or whatever they call it. Once your husband dies, go to the Minister of Justice and tell them, where is the administrator of estates, of trust, the trustee office? When you go there, tell them your peculiar situation and they will tell you how to apply the law accordingly. And she gave us examples because she once occupied that position in the old Bendel state, where somebody had the same situation. The in-laws came, immediately the man died, collected the property, collected his car, collected everything. And when they came to her, exercising the right, the power of that office on behalf of the estate of the late person, she ordered the man be arrested and the car, the property were collected back. And if they went otherwise, that person would have gone to jail. And so, don't sit down and cry and say it's tradition. And somebody asks a question, what if the tradition says so? And we are made to understand that any tradition that goes contrary to the provisions of the Constitution that guarantees freedom, human rights, and so on, according to the lawyers call it extant law. It says it is null and void. It is not enforceable. So please take note of that. If you don't know what to do, go to any lawyer. And if you're a member of this church, we have lawyers in this church that can freely and honestly give you counsel on what to do. Don't sit down and cry. You will pray to take care of the spiritual one. Let your pastor know that they are trying to attack you spiritually. We will face them spiritually. Then physically, we will go to the Lord. Praise the Lord. And we are also advised that there is the need for will and somebody to write a will. And somebody asks, how do we write a will? Luckily for us, this is a book I was given a copy some time ago, written by one of us here, Barrister Davidson Azuamero. If you don't know him, he's the president of the Bride Cooperative. Brother Davidson, can you wave your hand if you're anywhere nearby? He's also a member of the Elders Council in this church. Good. He wrote this book. If you can show them the book on the screen, Understanding Will, the will, its importance and characteristics. Understanding will, its importance and characteristics. I've gone through the book to educate me. I like to be informed, to know my rights every time. So I read such things. It will help you. You can get a copy for yourself on the need to write a will because you don't know what can happen. There's also a magazine that the marriage committee wrote, produced. And there are so many articles there. On page 7, I wrote an article that I titled Understanding Church Wedding and White Wedding. There are two different things. You must catch the meaning of what is a true church wedding and what is a white wedding. And on page 31, I have a second article there that I wrote, what is the biblical definition of marriage? What is the biblical definition of marriage? I said marriage is ordained by God. He ordained it by himself. But you can make reference to Genesis chapter 2, verse 21 to 25. Marriage is for companionship. Genesis 2, verse 18. It's not good that a man be alone. And Ecclesiastes chapter 4 from verse 9 to 12 gives the reason why it is not good for man to be alone. He said two are better than one. The purpose of marriage is also for procreation. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 28. Also, you are to note that only death can separate you when you get married. Let it be at the back of your mind that it is until death do you part. And that is in Romans chapter 7, verse 2 to 3. And 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 39. Have it at the back of your mind that it is a journey, like German marriage committee will say, it does not have reverse gear. The vehicle of marriage only goes forward. It never goes backward. And it is important that both the man and the woman, you will need to play your part. Everyone has a part to play so that you can enjoy that marriage. If every partner plays their part properly, then peace, happiness, joy is guaranteed. And that begins with taking your position. The man is the head of the woman. The Bible says so. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 3. There is a headship. You must recognize the headship. And there are instructions for the man to love the wife and the woman to subject herself, to be submissive to the man. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 21 to verse 33 explains it. And I stressed that the man is to love the wife and prove it, or show that you really love her, not in words only. I emphasized that. Therefore, there is a need for the man to be romantic. Shower your wife with gifts regularly. And I emphasize that these gifts must not only come from the man. You should shower each other gifts. Prove that you love him also by giving him gifts. I said the man is also to protect her. You are a source of protection for the woman. That is why even in build, you have muscles. Women don't have muscles. It's not for you to beat her, it's to protect her. And therefore, it is proper, normal, that the man must be jealous of his wife. You must be jealous. It is love that produces jealousy. And jealousy will bring protection for the woman. Jealousy will make him want to keep the woman, do everything to make sure nobody snatches that woman from him or harms that woman in any way. And the woman's position is to submit yourself to the man and show it by giving him the respect and obedience due to him. Apostle Peter in 1 Peter chapter 3 verse 1 to 7 emphasized it. And Colossians chapter 3 verse 18 and verse 19. Number four, what you should note is that marriage must be honorable, as we see in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 4. Marriage is honorable in all and the bed undefiled. But whoremonger and adulterers, God will judge. The Bible says so. Now, to make that marriage honorable, respect one another, show respect, display respect for one another, both privately and publicly. I explained that. And one way of making your marriage honorable, he said, the bed must be undefiled. Don't be so much accost that in your home, your wife is not around, your husband is not around, your spouse is not at home, then you bring a man or a woman and sleep on that bed. You have defiled that bed. And the Bible says God will judge you. You see, respect, amen. The way you produce, live in your home. Let your home be respected. Don't let neighbors look down on your home by passing derogatory statements because of your character, because of the way you do. Every time you fight, all your neighbors are hearing you fighting, and the way you live your life, you are not making that marriage honorable. Fornication is not making that marriage honorable. Every married man or woman that leaves your husband, leaves your wife to go out and fornicate with any other person, you are actually dishonoring your partner. Take note of that. Don't allow strangers to infiltrate your home through gossips and all influences of any form of third party. And I said it, that when it comes to solving matters, I said, don't go and report your husband or your wife to your relation. They will never take the right judgment. They will bias. Very rare to see an honest person that will talk to you and advise you. Don't go to your relation. Don't even go. If your wife is misbehaving, don't go to the parents. Don't go to your own parents. So also for the wife. If you have any issue with the man. I say also, it's important I stress this. Even if you're a member of the church, if your husband is the one financing the church, the pastor also may not be in position. He can be influenced by his profile and may not give a right judgment. So there are some problems that you cannot take to the pastor when it comes to marriage issues. Look for somebody that you know is neutral, is truthful, and he will be fair in his judgment when you have any problem. Number five, I said, ensure and build trust for each other. There are things that you should not hide from one another. There are things that you should not hide. And it includes those things that if your spouse finds out, it will amount to distrust. And you should know the kind of things. I mean, including, why do you want, I stressed it, and I want to stress it again. Why do you password your phone until even your wife will not have access to your phone? No, your wife should have access to your phone. Now, listen, anything can happen, and there are certain information that may be in that phone that your wife will need to have access to, or your husband may need to have access to, for proper information and actions to be taken. Even for security, let your spouses know, including where you are going to. When you leave your house, you say you are going to church, make sure it is the church you are going to. And always let each other know about your movement. It is for security. Should anything happen, they will know how to trace you, where you went and when you left that place. Don't say you are going to Oshodi. Meanwhile, you are actually going to Ikoyi. And on the way, you have accident, you don't come back. They will be tracing you between your house and Oshodi. Meanwhile, it happened at Ikoyi. But again, it also shows that you are being unfaithful to your spouse. If not, let them know your password. Learn to communicate. It's still under trust. Learn to communicate. Communication is very important. Talk to each other. Talking will remove suspicion and presumption. Every question asked, answer. Explain why you did it or why you didn't do it. You are supposed to make the person trust you. Don't fight anybody, say, or quarrel with anybody. You don't trust me, you don't trust me. You must trust me. No. Trust is not enforced. Trust is earned. You earn it. from your lifestyle. And I always say, when there is no trust in a relationship, there is no basis for that relationship. There is no relationship when there is no trust. Your husband cannot trust you, you cannot trust. Huh? Why is he your friend when you cannot trust him? You should be able to at any time stand and stand shorty for your partner. So that you know, if they say he did it, say yes, I believe. I know he can do it. I know he did it. Or lie, I can stake my neck. He didn't do it. She didn't do it. Stop lying to each other. It kills relationship when there is no trust. Number six, don't be selfish. When it comes to relationship, a proper relationship, you live a life always watching out for that which will please your partner. Your partner first before you. Don't be selfish. Always seek that which makes him or her happy. Always. Find out what is it that makes this woman happy, makes this man happy, and concentrate on it to always make that person happy. And avoid anything that causes unhappiness, that causes sadness. It's wrong. Praise the Lord. I received a question last night, yesterday, but I read it last night. I think you must be an online member, and I pray that you are watching me now. That your husband, because of a health condition, has a certain dietary prescription. There are certain food, only that certain food he is supposed to eat. And so that is the food that is cooked for him. And he's insisting that the food he eats is the food that everybody should eat. The wife too must eat that food. So if the woman decides to cook any other food different from the one he is eating, fire will fall down. Haba, brother. How can you be selfish to that point? That is not what makes you a man. That is a dragonian spirit. That's the spirit of a taskmaster. When you paid the bride price for your wife, did you purchase her? Did you pay for a slave? What do you know as the meaning of bride price? Who is a wife to you? Praise God. It's wrong. If you are listening to me now, the woman says she does that even just maybe like once in 3 months, once in 2 months. She doesn't have the health condition you have. Why must she eat the same type of food that you are eating? That is not lordship. You are inconsiderate. Please help me to talk to this man, Brother Peter. Wait, Peter, do you have any one word sentence for that man? Because I lack what to tell that man to understand.
Praise the Lord. I think the man has a heart of stone, and the man is not considerate, like you said, and the man is a tyrant. He's not supposed to marry. He's not qualified to marry. And that kind of a man being in a position, like being a president of a country, the man will deal with everybody. What he's supposed to do is to be eating whatever they prescribe to him and keep on praying. But with this, his character, for him even to receive healing for that ailment will be so difficult.
It will be difficult.
Because his attitude will be blocking the healing hands, and God will never force the healing upon you. He has to repent and also ask the wife for forgiveness, because he has also wronged the wife and offended the wife's spirit. Even the wise spirit is not at peace with him. For his healing to be complete, he has to ask for mercy and ask for the wife to forgive him. That is a wicked act.
Thank you. That is repent. Brother, repent. Amend your ways. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Listen, when God gave you a wife, he that findeth a wife findeth a good thing and obtaineth favor. Let me make him a helper. I want to say it again. I said it. Some brothers here didn't smile till the program was over because I made that statement. I will say it because it is the truth. Consider it again. He is a helper. She is to help you do what you need help for. Oh, glory be to God. Now, I must read this scripture. Let me read it. Ephesians chapter 5, from verse 25.
Husbands, love your wives.
Love your wives.
Even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it.
Next verse.
That he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. That he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing.
And see, he gave himself. He loved the church so much that he gave himself. He died for the church. He died, physically died for the church. He said that is how we are to love our wives. That is, we are supposed to live our lives for them. To die for them is live your life for the well-being of your church, for your wife. And he began to, he is the one that cleanses the church. Washes the church with the washing of the water by the word, that he might present the church, a glorious church, unto himself, not having spots or wrinkle. It is contrary to that scripture. If it is the wife that is taking care of you, dying for you, washing for you, cooking for you, some even, they are so useless, they sleep in the house, the wife will go and sell akara and bring money and give him. Go and labor from morning to night, sit down at home there, and demand that the wife should, when the work finish, say, let me, where is the salary? You must bring your salary, everything, bring it to me. Then I will decide how much I will give you. That is not how the church is loved by Christ. You are supposed to clothe her, beautify her. You are supposed to make her presentable. And that leads me to the next point, that no human being is perfect anywhere. I've stressed it, and let me say it again, that perfect person, partner you are looking for, that is why, Chika, you never marry. You are still looking for the perfect woman, Abi. That is why, Martin, you never marry, Abi. You are looking for a perfect person, Abi. Who again? Samuel. Who again? You will never see any perfect person anywhere. That perfect person only exists in your mind. And because he exists in your mind, you will marry her, and then that picture that you have, you will now work on her to achieve that picture that you have. That is the order. When Christ met with you, you met with Christ and he paid your bride price, did you come perfect? No. He sanctifies you. He washes you. You will fall, he will lift you up. He will nourish you. until he will present you. When they look at you, no spot, no wrinkle. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. That is the assignment for men. Now, if you catch this, as humorous as it looks, it's serious. Because these are always the areas that create problem at home. And I'm saying so because I have been married for 35 years now. And I am telling you, these things I am saying make no issue since the day I married my wife. If I come home, there is no food, I go to the kitchen. Amen. And sometimes when I prepare it, I tell you, you must eat my food though. Whether it tastes well or not. They stopped me the day I thought it was crayfish. I saw something in one container where they keep them. I didn't say crayfish, I don't know, say ogbono. I can't put that for rice. So she came and taught me now. She had to teach me. God forbid, what if something happened? Who will cook for me? You can't even cook. Your mother didn't bring you up well. Where did you get the mentality that cooking belongs to women? It's tradition. No, think again. Think again. Just think very well. It's tradition. Civilization has made us to think well now. It's nothing like that. Why will you be angry because your wife didn't wash your cloth? How do you even think wife wash your cloth? If she wash it freely to help you because you don't have time, you should thank her and appreciate her very well. You should beg her to help you to cook. You should beg her to help you to clean the house. She's helping you. The house belongs to you. Listen, the Bible says that the man is the head of the woman. That means you are the ideas. Everything about that, how they're thinking, everything comes from you. Don't blame the woman for not doing what you think she's supposed to know to do if you have not taught her. And the fact that you teach her and she does not know how to do it does not constitute an offense. Listen, church. The day you catch this simple fact, 90% of the reason why people quarrel in the house, husband and wife, is removed. But I can also assure you that the woman will be loved better by the man when she is really found truthfully being of help to him. He will be so happy, he will be so proud of you to note that he rushed to work and left the house in disarray. And he's coming home with a friend that escorted him and missed the house well arranged, well cleaned. You have made him proud. It is wrong for you to say it was her duty she was doing. It's not her duty. She has helped you. She has helped you to give birth to children. Because your name they are going to bear. And that seed is actually from you. The seed that became a human being came from you, brother. She's helping you to incubate it. She's helping. Anytime your wife is under pregnancy, she's a custodian of a seed from you. And listen, church. This idea, I want to stress it again. This idea of disturbing the women, that every time, boy, every time, girl. If this one. Listen again. Go and read. Education helps. Knowledge helps. There is what they call X and Y chromosomes. Yes, sir. that comes from the man and the woman, it is these chromosomes that determine the sex of that child. And the one that we produce, the male or female, this whatever sex is determined from what the man gives out. It is the man that is giving you girl, 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 girl. It is the man that is giving you boy, 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 boy. So it should be the woman say, nah, I don't want girl again, I want boy. If you give me boy again, this one where they are, so go pray, make it be girl. If you give me boy again, I'm not going to agree. You should be the one tormenting him, not him tormenting you. It's lack of knowledge. Praise the Lord. It's lack of knowledge. Blessed be the name of the Lord.